You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org. Non-commercial, community-powered radio. This is Musana's Musings. Stay tuned for I Love You, Minneapolis. Forget What I Said Yesterday.
Break.
Good evening, everybody. This is Musana's Musings, back from a two-week hiatus. I am so excited to share with you all everything I've been up to and everything I've been brainstorming and thinking about when it comes to this lovely radio show, I Love You, Minneapolis, Forget What I Said Yesterday. Again, I Love You, Minneapolis, Forget What I Said Yesterday. This year is the first time that I've been on air continuously since 2012 when I was on WBOR in Maine. We were broadcasting out of Brunswick at my alma mater, Bowdoin College, and I had a radio show with my dear friend, Lara Dumi. Lara, if you're listening, I'm thinking of you. I love you and happy early birthday. So I just wanted to take some time to reflect on what it's meant to be going 6 weeks strong, or no, April, going 8 weeks strong and being able to work with some of my closest friends, being able to just continue to hone in on my craft, improve my transitions, discuss whatever topics have come to mind, the easy ones, the difficult ones, and also trying new things. So again, I'm just thankful to be back after my hiatus and thankful to be here with you all. I figured that I would take this time to do a mid-summer check-in. We are in the heat of summer as I am broadcasting. It is humid outside. So I'm hoping that everybody is staying cool. Everybody is staying hydrated. I personally just got over last week a bout of nasty, nasty dehydration. So yeah, don't be like me. Drink your water, consume hydrating foods, keep yourself filled up. So just thinking about the weather, just thinking about how when there hasn't been ozone particles and other contaminants in the air from the wildfires coming out of Canada. And of course, we're hoping everybody up there is staying safe, and the wildfires in Minnesota as well. If there's a wildfire near you, I hope that you have been able to stay safe, your home's been able to stay safe. When the air quality has been better, I've been out in the backyard. My landlord has been upkeeping the garden. It looks absolutely fantastic. So just being able to sit outside, smell the air, watch the sunset, watch the sunrise, touch some grass, if you will, has just been really enjoyable. So yeah, just thinking about how I've been able to refill my cup during this time, I wanted to take the time to just share what else I've been up to. So I was able to pre-record a broadcast for Disco Never Died Day, and that was on KFAI 2, our online station. And I grew up on disco. Both my parents, whom I'm estranged from, introduced me to disco as a young child, and I think it inadvertently was the lifeline that they threw to me as a Black, queer and trans individual. I would say that there's no passion for nightlife for me without disco. I think quite a bit of my creative energy is so heavily inspired by that sound. And it's when I feel my most whimsical, and it's when I feel my most alive. Funnily enough, even though R&B is my favorite genre, and I'll always be sharing that with you, disco is so much a part of that. And I'm always happy when those genres are able to meet. So if you all have the opportunity, I hope that you're able to listen. It is on the KFAI archives on the SoundCloud. I was able to go see an art exhibit this past week at Indigenous Roots over in the east side of St. Paul. Shout out to the Paul. And this exhibit was called Force of Nature. The themes were earth, connections to earth, identity, land, and lineage. And it was an immersive community gallery exhibition put on by Dizzy from Aphrodisiac Arts. I was
so inspired by the oil paintings, the watercolor paintings, and the collaging that also went into each of the works. And then there were poems that accompanied each painting, each collage. And it was really beautiful to see the work of artists that I've been in community with, been able to share meals with, have gotten to know over the years. So shout out again, Dizzy, shout out Miley Hartman. And there were also some amazing artists whose works that I was introduced to. So always an amazing opportunity to be present with Indigenous roots. They just always host an amazing space. I'm just so thankful for the opportunities that I've had to be there and just their hospitality and kindness in the way they hold space. I also had the opportunity to go to Afrodasia, which is Obi Original and the Black Atlantic's weekly residency at Ice House every Sunday from 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. And this one I saw in the middle of the month, and it featured Mac OC, who I hadn't seen live in a very long time, which was really, really amazing. And it was really awesome to be able to meet him and also be invited, along with everybody else who was present that night, to film a music video for his newest single, Minneapolis Sound. Ultimately, I was unable to attend because I fell ill, but I am just always thankful for the opportunity to support artists in the Black diaspora in the Twin Cities. And I love when we all get to collaborate and just support everyone's work. I've also been seeing a variety of local DJs out in the community, and I hope that y'all get to, like, if you feel so inclined, take a listen to them on their SoundClouds. And just open up your mind to, like, new folks and just support our local artists. The first is DJ EB Baby. I saw her at Green Room for her premiere event. I am not allowed to say the name of this event on the airwaves. Shout out FCC. So just know it was a time. If you follow DJ EB Baby on Instagram, their username is Bardist African. You'll be able to get access to her SoundCloud, and her mixes are elite. That musical theory background comes in hot. I also had the opportunity to see DJ Maracuya spin at Berlin Minneapolis, which is a venue that focuses on jazz artists, electronic artists, and experimental music and performances. And that was a really stunning evening. I got to meet up with some friends, and it was just a good 2.5 hours of house. There's house music, there's cumbia, there was a little bit of hip-hop, a little bit of everything. So I think they did an amazing job, and I love just being a fan of them. I've loved getting to know them as a person as well. And last but not least, I got to see DJ Sasha Banks along with DJ McShellen and Sophia Aris at her night by the party collective she's invited. And Sasha just pulled so many mixes out of a hat. And for this night, it's focused on women and femme musicians. So I think just the ability to uplift and honor local artists in the Twin Cities, but also musicians, women and femme musicians across the world, is absolutely stunning. So she did amazing. You can catch her on the episode one of the broadcasts that I did in June, specifically focused on the ballroom scene as part of my series for Pride Month. So that was really exciting. We bang for bangs in this house. So I love being out in the community. I hope that I'm able to continue to just share more about the places that I've been and the things that I'm doing. I hope that you all choose to call the hotline at 612-341-0980. Again, 612-341-0980. So that way, You can also share like what's been on your mind and where you've been this summer. Join me for this summer check-in. I'm about to take a break just because I've been talking for quite a bit, and I want to also transition us to another part of the summer that I'm super excited to talk about. But before we get to that, I'm going to play my first song. It's called Bound, and it's by the Ponderosa Twins Plus One. I first honestly heard this song as a sample off of Kanye West's album Life of Pablo, called Bound 2 in parentheses Falling in Love. And you know, I was reflecting on this with my sibling today as we were driving to a friend's baby shower, and I was like, I definitely had deep respect for Kanye as an artist before his foray and descent into white supremacist ideologies, because the way that he produced and the way that he sampled really took listeners through a musical history of Black music within the United States. And that's something that I really valued at the time. So anyway, that being said, we're gonna transition to Bound by the Ponderosa Twins Plus One. Bound by the Ponderosa Twins Plus One.
Support for KFAI comes, in part, from the Cedar Cultural Center, presenting ML Buch, Thursday, July 30th. Danish musician, composer, and producer, ML Buch makes her debut at the Cedar, layering open-tune seven-string guitar over ethereal digital landscapes. ML Buch creates an immersive sound that references dream pop and shoegaze. Opening the show is Lee Noble. More information about ML Book with Lee Noble is available at thecedar.org.
Alrighty, and we are back. You are listening to I Love You, Minneapolis, Forget What I Said Yesterday. Again, I Love You, Minneapolis, Forget What I Said Yesterday, hosted by the one and only Musanas Musings. And right after the song, we just jumped right into a message from our sponsors because they help us keep the lights on, and that's really important. I wanted to talk about another summer I want to talk about another summer experience that I love dearly that I've been engaging in ever since I was a child, and that is being a fan of the Minnesota Lynx. Minnesota Lynx, WNBA Women's National Basketball Association basketball team. They have won four championships within the league, within their existence. I want to just shout out and just go through all the things I've done being a fan this year, and just reflecting on what it meant as a kid to have this as a really special highlight of my summer, growing up low income specifically. So the first like big in-person event that I did was I went to go see the home game where the Lynx played Atlanta in late May, and I went with my friend Jazz, wherever you are, if you're listening, thank you so much again for those tickets. I got to meet some of Jazz's amazing friends, and we had amazing seats, and it was just really exciting to see Angel Reese live and play again because she's on the Atlanta Dream. It was really awesome to see Olivia Miles, our rookie pick from the 2026 draft, who was the second choice, and it's been just amazing to see her play point guard. She just has a lot of gravity. Her passes are next level, and she just really puts on a show when she plays, and it's just it's so exciting to be a fan of basketball, and especially supporting young talent. And we did win that game, so I'd like to think that I'm a lucky charm, but I'm sure, again, all 10 to 12,000 of us that attend all think we're the lucky charms. And then next up, I had the opportunity to see the Lynx play the Connecticut Sun with my friend Sasha Banks. It was their birthday, so that was really exciting. DJ Izzy P, a dear friend of mine and an amazing DJ, was spinning on the ones and twos, so I was really excited to connect with them afterwards, and it's always a treat to see them perform amazing at what they do. And we barely won that game. The Connecticut Sun has a variety of tall players, and the Minnesota Lynx has struggled with size in recent years. Many of our players are 6'4 and under. And so while we're an amazing team, that does stump us quite a bit. And again, we had really great seats to that game as well. I'm so thankful to my friend Shan, who hooked us up with tickets. And I'm just so thankful to be in community with people who love women's basketball, who love supporting women's sports in general, and are just open to sharing their resources with me. I can't thank you enough. This weekend, I took the opportunity to watch the All-Star game with my friends, Sasha and Yoni. That was really, really beautiful. And I also logged onto Twitch to watch the stream with Courtney Williams, who is our shooting guard on the Minnesota Lynx, and Natasha Heidemann, who used to be on the team but got traded to the Seattle Storm in Seattle, Washington. And the game was definitely a showcase of people's skills. It was awesome to see different configurations of players playing together. And I was in awe of the way that they honored the players of the league past and present during the 30th anniversary, and just really giving people their flowers, honoring people's legacy, hearing players at the press conference at the end. It was just all an amazing experience, and I hope to be able to go to All-Star one day. Hopefully next year, we shall see. It was really awesome this year to watch the game where Cheryl Reeve became the winningest coach in the WNBA with 380 games and counting. It was really exciting. last week, and that was an away game. That was against Connecticut, the Connecticut Sun. It was really awesome to watch the game against the Seattle Storm last week, Wednesday, when Nafisa Collier got back on the basketball court for the first time in nearly 10 months after double ankle surgery. I have had ankle pain in my whole life, and by no means am I a professional athlete, so definitely know what that pain feels like, and it was just really beautiful to see her play the game that she loves. I also just love that Lynx games, I love how family-friendly they are. I really respect how we put on local talents. I feel like as a Black person who's also queer and trans, I feel safe and at ease. I love going with all my friends. I love like going online on Instagram and then clicking through stories and seeing where all my other friends are seated as well. And then we're all laughing because we try to meet up and see each other. It just is a really calm and amazing space. And I remember going as a kid for camp days, which were scheduled for like at either 12 p.m. or 2 p.m. or 3 p.m. during the workday. That way, kids from all over, whether they're playing in traveling sports teams, home sports teams, or were part of summer camps, would have the opportunity to go. We'd all get free. We'd get free shirts and we'd be just cheering. Even if we had no idea how to play basketball, what was going on, it was just a really great way for us to get to know who our hometown and local heroes are and really be inspired. So it was just really, it's really beautiful to see that those traditions exist to this day. It's really awesome to reflect on the ways that I've grown as that I've grown as a fan and a person, and just to reflect on all of those memories. So yeah, I don't know, maybe I'll see some of y'all who are listeners at a Lynx game at some point this summer. If you see me, Musana's Musings, if you hear my voice, come chit chat with me. I'll gladly chit chat with you. So I wanted to mark the end of this segment by playing the song I Wish by Skee-Lo, because there was a time where I really wished that I was a baller and I wished that I was a little bit taller. Without further ado, we've got I Wish by Skee-Lo.
Hey, this is radio station WSKE. We're taking calls on the wish line, making your wacky wishes come true.
Hello? I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 baller. I wish I was like 6'9" so I could get with Leoshi, cause she don't know me, but yo, she's really fine. You know, I see her all the time, everywhere I go, and even in my dreams, I can scheme a way to make her mine. Cause I know she's living fat, her boyfriend's tall, and he plays ball, so how am I gonna compete with that? Cause when it comes to playing basketball, I'm always last to be picked, and in some cases, never pooped at all. So I just lean up on the wall, or sit up in the bleachers with the rest of the girls who came to watch they man ball. Dag y'all, I never understood black, while the jocks get the fly girls, and me, I get the hood rats. I tell them scat, skittles, kabobble. Got hit with a bottle, but sit in a hospital for talking that mess. I confess it's a shame when you living in a city that's the size of a box and nobody knows your name. Glad I came to my senses, like quick, got sick to my stomach. Overcome it by thoughts of me and her together, right? So when I asked her out, she said I wasn't that type. I wish I was a little bit taller, I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 baller. I wish I was a little bit taller, I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 baller. I wish I had a brand new car. So far, I got this hatchback, and everywhere I go, yo, I get laughed at. And when I'm in my car, I'm laid back. I got an A-track and a spare tire in the back seat, but that's flat. And do you wanna know what's really whack? See, I can't even get a date, so what you think of that? I heard that prom night is a bomb night with a hood ratchet and old type of Rito. Figaro, when in my car, I can't even get a hello. Well, so many people wanna cruise Crenshaw on Sunday. One day I'ma have to get in my car and go. You know, I take the 110 into the 105. Get off on Crenshaw, tell my homies look alive. Cause it's hard to survive when you're living in a concrete jungle and these girls keep passing me by. She looks fly, she looks fly. Make me say my, my, my. I wish I was a little bit taller, I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 baller. I wish I was a little bit taller, I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 baller.
wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I was a little bit taller, y'all. I wish I was a baller. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. Hey, I wish I had my way, cause every day would be a Friday, and you can even speed on the highway. I would play ghetto games, name my kids ghetto names. Little Mookie, Big Al, Lorraine. Yo, you know that's on the real. So if you down on your luck, then you should know just how I feel. Cause if you don't want me around, see, I go simple, I go easy, I go Greyhound. Hey, you, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Ah, yes, ain't that fresh? Everybody wants to get down like that. Wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6'4" parlor. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6'4" parlor.
Community Radio is KFAI-FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Online and archived at KFAI.org. The community's true voice.
And we are back. Again, we took a minute to... oh my gosh, what did we take a minute to do? Haha. We took a minute to... We took a minute to, oh my goodness. Sorry, y'all. Clearly, I am just getting my my senses and my head back from the hiatus that I just took. But we took a minute to hear again from, to hear a little message about KFAI. You know, we are Fresh Air Community Radio, 90.3 FM. We broadcast in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and we can be heard around the world at KFAI.org. We are non-commercial community powered radio, and our programming is made possible in part through grants from the state of Minnesota and listeners just like you. So again, we thank you. Listen to me, listen to everybody else. So beautiful. And this is I Love You Minneapolis, Forget What I Said Yesterday. Again, I Love You Minneapolis, Forget What I Said Yesterday. it's always a pleasure to be here on the airwaves. It's always a pleasure to just chit chat and engage with y'all. I wanted to take y'all through some of the news stories that I've been following across the world, locally and across the nation. I am thinking first and foremost about Nolan Xavier Wells, who had turned 18 this year and who was found dead following a July 4th boat trip with friends. He was buried in a Mississippi church this past Monday, and Reverend Al Sharpton was present, and he was surrounded by family and friends. And it just, all the details surrounding this case are so strange and deeply concerning. The fact that he and his friends, Nolan being a young black man, his friends being for the most part young white men and women, they were all on a boat trip, as young kids would do, right? Just going outside, trying to enjoy summer, trying to enjoy their freedom, clearly just turning 18, trying to enjoy being a young adult, really for the first time, and having like adult rights in that way. And the fact that he went out with his friends for the weekend, it was just them, and all of them returned except for him, and his body was found. Everybody lawyered up, and nobody has any details as to how he died. And to know that his parents were calling their friends, to know that his parents were asking around and nobody had anything to say is absolutely jarring. I definitely am thinking of him and his family. May he rest in peace. May his family have the resources and the time that they need to grieve in as much as you can, right? When the death of your child or your loved one becomes national news. As much as anyone can. And this happened in Mississippi, in the Gulf Coast. And so just thinking about the rise in anti-blackness in recent years, thinking about how we're in an openly fascist space, openly fascist government and space at this time, and just thinking about how much more difficult it is to rally around people and provide support and care during this time. Absolutely terrible, absolutely horrific. And I'll be following this case if you all feel so inclined. I hope that you do as well. So again, Nolan Wells, may he rest in peace. I'm also thinking about Corey Ruiz, who, based on court records, appears to be Afro-Latino, but details are a little bit hazy. Either way, so appears to be Afro-Latino, was shot and killed by a Madison police officer this past Wednesday after a brief interaction, with Madison, Wisconsin, capital city of Wisconsin, near a local co-op. Police saw him in an altercation with another set of folks, and they just decided to shoot. And this is Madison, Wisconsin's third time since 2012 that police have shot and killed somebody within the same neighborhood in Madison. Protesters are out. It's not business as usual. And the city is definitely experiencing, you know, an uprising and unrest of their own, as many events have been canceled and people are really focused on trying to hold law enforcement accountable and figuring out what happened. Of course, we're thinking about Corey. May he rest in peace. We're thinking about the family. May they have what they need to heal, and may they have space to grieve, as much space as you can when, again, your child and your loved one's death makes the local news. So it's really beautiful to see the support and the solidarity and support within different factions and parts of the Madison community. And yeah, us in the Twin Cities stands with you. I'll be following that case closely as well, and I hope you do too. A brief moment of, I don't know if I would say relief, but I think a small victory that we can get excited, that I think we can get excited for and happy about, is that a Trump-appointed federal judge this past Monday tossed out a Department of Justice lawsuit that aimed to invalidate state and local sanctuary policies, which limit information sharing and cooperation between local law enforcement agencies and immigrant enforcement. And this lawsuit was filed last September, and it was one of 27 cases filed against 20 or more cities that have sanctuary laws, again, including Minneapolis. It is really awesome to know that there are still capable individuals advocating for the people within the legal space, within at the federal level, at the county level, at the local level, in this way. And it really is, I think it's one act of bravery to just continue to fight these cases tooth and nail, especially when our federal government is not acting, is genuinely not acting the will of the people. Not that they have consistently done that, but it's very clear now that that is not their attempt, and they're not in any way trying to hide that. So, I mean, again, I'm glad that Minneapolis and St. Paul are off of that case was tossed out. And we also know that ICE is present within the Twin Cities and in the suburbs and in rural areas. We do know that there are over 15 people just last month that were detained by ICE for leading and participating in anti-ICE protests and actions. So, and we know that people are still being abducted. We know that our neighbors are not safe. We know that we're not safe. And I don't know about you, but I've found it jarring to be encouraged to attend local gatherings, specifically outdoors. And I know talking to other friends in other cities, it feels the same way. Like, we're just encouraged to be out and to engage. But a variety of these larger events don't seem to be outwardly discussing protocols for when ICE comes around, what we're supposed to do, how these venues will protect us or how they won't be able to protect us. And I think that cognitive dissonance is sending me. So again, I think very happy that the lawsuit was thrown out. I will definitely continue to be discussing the progress of, the progress our community is making and where ICE is in their pursuit of wreaking havoc and crisis and abducting people and trafficking them across the nation, across the world, as my radio show keeps going. But that was just something that I felt like I should highlight. I've also been thinking about anti-trans bills, both in the state of Minnesota and nationwide. I would say because I was focused on All-Star Weekend and with the WNBA, there's been a lot of discussion, of course, about the inability for trans youth, trans adults to participate in athletic competitions at any level, scholastically, whether that be elementary school, middle school, or high school, in club sports, and at the collegiate level. It's been eye-opening and amazing to listen to firsthand accounts of athletes, both past and present, at the professional level in sports, whether that's soccer, thinking about the World Cup that also just recently ended, and thinking about basketball, which I'm really passionate about, and just seeing how they're advocating for their teammates, seeing what they can do with their voice, with their platform, with their power. And also it definitely is a continued reminder for me that I speak up wherever I can. I spend a lot of time, and I'm thankful to spend a lot of time in spaces with Black queer people, but that's not always where I'm at. That's definitely not my workplace. That's definitely not, a guarantee everywhere I go. So it's just a continued reminder for me. And of course, I know I'm a queer and trans person as well, to just keep myself informed and also speak out to combat any type of ignorance in that way. But also, I mean, be prepared. Like, in as much as possible, look out for one another. I'm thinking about the laws that are barriers to accurate IDs, which is getting scary. We're seeming to need IDs to be able to access websites on the internet, being able to enter into any space, any store at any time. And I think not being able to identify oneself makes it that much easier to also go missing too, right? Not being able to travel and to leave, especially when things get dangerous, makes it difficult to apply for jobs. And it just continued harassment when your ID is not valid. It also clearly, the harder it is for any person in our society to have adequate identification, the harder it is ultimately for all of us at the end of the day, right? As people, to be able to conduct business, to be able to get to where we need to go, to be able to gather, to be able to see our loved ones. So those are bills that I've been tracking as well. And also, definitely concerned about healthcare restrictions for LGBT people as well, whether that is care for trans youth, care for trans people within the carceral system, whether that is, again, like thinking about identification, thinking about whether or not you have access to hormones, access to medication, thinking about whether or not you have access to providers who are trained in LGBT care and can adequately support you and adequately advocate for you within the medical system. There's just a lot of questions to be answered, and it poses a lot of risks. And at what point do doctors and physicians and people in the healthcare field who support the queer and trans community, at what point do they, does their advocacy and their presence in the medical space become nearly illegal as doctors who are able to provide abortions? It, again, like, anytime you limit the care that people can receive, any marginalized group of people, it ultimately impacts all of us and puts us at continued risk and danger. So I'm hoping that y'all keep up with these cases and bills, and get involved in community advocacy any way you can. The last few things that have been on my mind are the war in Iran, which I usually deem or call the illegal and ill-advised and not condoned by international law invasion of Iran, the United States, and its allies decided to do, much to everyone's dismay, and the midterm elections, and just thinking about what it means to try to push for the candidates that we support or the candidates that we're trying to learn about, trying to figure out how it is that we can get them to advocate for an end to the international terror that we as a nation are wreaking on the world, on other nation states, just because that impacts the money that we're able to provide for ourselves, that impacts our tax dollars, where those are going, and also the way that we engage in illegal acts of war, among other things, in other nation states impacts not only those people, but also us here who live within the United States. So, yes. And I think it's been wild to try to find reputable sources discussing all points within the war in Iran. I've definitely turned to international news sources to be able to get that information. And it's been also weird, like, trying to have conversations and realizing how limited, like, how then realizing the impact of the limited access to information that we have and the specific viewpoints that, say, our larger mainstream media counterparts are presenting on this crisis. So I mean, there's so much to say. And honestly, there will be a whole broadcast dedicated to this at some point. But right now, I just wanted to say that I'm just thankful for journalists globally around the world and the United States make it a point to get this information to the public. I am thankful for everybody who's working on a campaign team who's just trying to figure out how to get our candidates to truly advocate for the people and keep us top of mind no matter what's happening. So yeah, those are all the things that have been on my mind. Thank you for listening. If they're on your mind, feel free to call at 612-341-0980. And yeah, and you can share with me, you can share with you can share with our audience what's going on. So to that end, I wanted to play What's Going On by Marvin Gaye. This song soothes me. I am continuously concerned and my mind is spiraling and spinning. So I turn to music in times of crisis, and I hope you all enjoy hearing this classic.
Recorded, man.
Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. War is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love and get here today. Picket lines and picket signs, don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. What's going on?
Welcome back to I Love You, Minneapolis. Forget what I said yesterday. Again, I love you, Minneapolis. Forget what I said yesterday. We are near the end of our time today. I just wanted to talk about what y'all can expect from the show moving forward. And I also wanted to make an announcement. So I am enrolling in graduate school, and I'm enrolling in graduate school to be an accountant. Maybe I mentioned this before, maybe I didn't, but that's the official announcement. So I'm excited to debut a new series at some point in the next couple of months. And we're just focusing on how money moves in the Twin Cities in the state of Minnesota and beyond. Or no, in the Twin Cities and in the state of Minnesota as a whole. So we're going to track how it impacts our local elections, because those are coming up, right? We're going to track how it moves through the for-profit sectors, the nonprofit and philanthropic sectors, and how it's just impacting every aspect of our lives. So I'm very excited about that. We're definitely going to, for that series, hit up some small and micro business owners, and also hopefully I can chit-chat with some other journalists and folks who are organizers in that space. I am really excited to discuss environmental advocacy, specifically on air quality, access to clean water, specifically with these data centers, and knowing that we've been able to defeat and push back against the proposals to build them in Woodbury and a couple other spots in the Twin Cities. But we know that the powers that be are pushing back. We know that either AI companies or companies that have AI department segments are definitely again trying to put those in space, in those spaces, thinking about the Psychosplora Psychosplora bacteria that's been getting into our food supply, namely our mixed lettuce, among other things. I'm just really excited to talk to folks who are in the agriculture and food justice space in the Twin Cities, and folks who are in the environmental advocacy space as well. I'm excited to talk about housing needs in the Twin Cities. As I was talking to a friend this past week, I was remarking on how the rent is too darn high. I know that I am moving closer to campus so I can go to school. I know that many of my friends are moving during this time, and I'm just thinking about how many people in the past, within the past 6 years of this decade, right, have been highly mobile, have been houseless, have been reaching out for mutual aid and other financial supports related to evictions or related to late payments for rent or late payments for utilities as well. It's just been really rough out here to secure it. And also our houseless population just continues to be pushed out from space to space to space, but it seems like there just isn't enough physical space for our houseless neighbors, and just trying to make sense of that right now, especially knowing that we have a federal government that is definitely anti-homeless people. I also am excited to talk more and more about labor organizing. I've had the opportunity to be part of a union in my current role, and even though that is going to be coming to an end really soon, I'm definitely thankful for the supports the union has provided. Now, the union has actually encouraged me to get involved in local politics, and I'm just excited to talk to folks and just see the other ways that people are advocating in community, especially when We know that companies are looking to replace so many entry-level jobs with generative AI. We know that people are experiencing wage theft. We know that companies are not extremely excited when folks unionize and shut down within the next day or the coming weeks. We know that people are being put into a variety of situations or ultimatums because ultimately the cost of living is increasing in Minnesota and across the nation, and employers know that we need the jobs and are putting us in some intense situations. So those are things you can expect from me moving forward. I cannot guarantee that we're going to have interviews every single week, but I'm going to, at minimum, each month have two, and then hopefully have folks call in to make it more of a discussion. So again, that's what you can expect from me. Thank you so much for listening to I Love You Minneapolis. Forget what I said yesterday this evening as we did a midsummer recap and you got to learn a little bit more about the news stories that I'm following and some of the summer activities that I engage in and the ways that I support local artists in our local artists and folks in our community. I am going to head out and try to catch the last bit of sun in this humidity before the night begins. And we're going to end, as always, with Mad Love by Infinity Song. It has been a pleasure. I am so happy to be back. And I'll catch y'all next week. Again, you're listening to KFAI 90.3 FM. Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org. I've been Musana's Musings, and this has been I Love You, Minneapolis. Forget what I said yesterday.
I've got mad love for your brother. You've been with me from the start. I've got mad love for your sister. You got a piece of my heart. I know I don't say it's enough. I want you to know what I feel in my heart. I don't want you to think that I take it for granted. You mean so much to me, please understand it. Cause I got mad love for you. 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 Cause I got mad love for you.
I've got mad love for you, mama. You brought me into this world. I've got mad love for you, father. You taught me to persevere.